Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Jim Berlin, Chief Executive Officer at Logistics Plus. Jim, it's been a few months since we last had you on Business Spotlight. Thank you so much for coming on again. It's always a pleasure. We'll start by asking, how are things going with you and Logistics Plus as we close out the first quarter of 2021?
Crazier than ever. I've always said it can't get any more nuts, but it has. Business is booming, combination of things, but we're finding all kinds of new customers all over the world, actually. So it's been a tiger by the tail. We've been on a hiring spree. We've added a lot of new warehouse space and several new customers and a lot more on the horizon. So it's a wild and crazy time.
Is there a particular office or region of the country that's seen more growth?
No, all over. It's several new offices in the U.S., several new big initiatives around the world. So I think it's funny because during COVID, we kept going, really didn't miss a beat, and provided the service we pledged to provide even when things were tough. And I think people, one, recognize that and appreciate that, but two, others that whose providers weren't helping them kind of came to us. And now that things are starting to pick up again, there's more volume of all kinds of stuff moving. So it just seems like it could be like a record year, I think. Another record year.
Jim, in your opinion, is there a lot of shopping around by companies pursuing a logistics partner?
I think people shop around. I think if they're happy with you, they shop around less. And we've had a lot of customers tell us that, you might not be the cheapest guys we get, but you're the best, and it's worth paying more. I always say it's like buying a car. If your only criteria to buy a car is inexpensive, you'll get one kind of car. If you pay more, you get a better car usually, a better model. So we don't want to be the cheapest. We're really good at what we do. And so I think people are willing to pay a little bit more for that service.
Is the year shaping up as you thought it would? And are you seeing any particular trends within your business or across the industry as a whole?
No, just business picking up more, so there's more volume, so more things are moving. The funny thing is our biggest customer, as you know, the last couple of years was WeWork, and we were kind of hit the skids. So going into this year, we had a big hole to fill just to stay where we are, our number one customer, so a big hole. And our CFO asked me in December, well, what are you going to fill the hole with? And I said, I don't know, but something. And a lot of those somethings are happening. So we are staying even already with last year, even after losing our biggest customer.
Was it troublesome watching the WeWork situation unfolding on the national news while you were trying to come up with a game plan on what to do next?
We kind of just say, okay, it'll happen. We'll deal with it. It's a little scary. But it's funny because years ago, GE was our only customer for the first 3 years. And then 10 years in, we didn't lose. We still have GE as our customer, but they went a different direction with some of the stuff we were doing. So it was a big hit. And I would say GE was a once-in-a-lifetime customer. But then we became the second once-in-a-lifetime customer. And now I think we're finding a third and fourth. So I don't know, just maybe a lot better to be lucky than good, but we keep finding businesses that fill the gaps when we lose anything, which we don't lose very many ever. I mean, WeWork was just, they didn't open any, COVID killed that industry. So there's no new offices being opened anywhere in the world right now. So their business just stopped. But we're finding all kinds of other things. And really, in December, I couldn't have said it's going to be this, this, or this. It just, a lot of things have been percolating around, and, you do these, quotes and customer leads and things just kind of develop. So we've never, I always joke, we've never had a plan in 25 years, so we still don't have a plan. but we're doing okay.
Being great at what you do, especially with a reputation like LP has, really helps in these situations, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It's, we're really we do, besides the, you know, the stuff Scott and Ryan does on the web, it's a network of customers that go from one place to another and get hired by other people. So good reputation helps. And then the marketing work we're doing has helped even more. And you can reach globally. We had a giant customer like 2 weeks ago contact us because something on the website that, you know, they put out there. And so they said, "You sound like the guys we need." So that's nice when it happens that way.
Jim, between severe weather, congestion at the ports, and a giant cargo ship blocking the Suez Canal for 6 days, there have been some crazy disruptions in global supply chains recently. How does LP react and adapt to such occurrences?
It's funny because I always say, you know, all we do is move stuff. And when things go easily, go well, most people can do what we do. It's not that hard. It's when things go poorly and stuff happens and you got to adapt. And that's where we shine. And the thing, if you think about it, so even if your 95% of what you do goes smooth and only 5% doesn't, 5% times, you know, probably a billion shipments a day worldwide, that's 50 million shipments that something's gone wrong on and it needs to be fixed. You need to communicate, plan B, plan C, plan D. And we're good at that, where others, not so much. Others, if things go south, kind of throw up their hands and say, well, this happened or that happened. You can't know. I put out a memo the other day to everybody. I said, you know, let's take a learning moment from the Suez Canal ship situation. I mean, we didn't know that ship was going to get stuck. We might have had containers on that ship like everyone else, or might have been in line. Surely we did. So, you know, you can't say, hey, your forwarder put stuff on the Ever Given, and you're stuck now. Ha ha, you should have used us. Because you don't know that. But we will communicate. We will find solutions that others may not. They may just throw their hands up and say, hey, it's stuck. Sorry. We'll try to do more than that. And in a lot of cases, maybe not in this case so much because it was such a world-shaking thing, but we find ways to mitigate the problem. And we don't pass the blame on. We don't blame Evergreen Lines for that. That could happen to anybody. You know, we didn't pick the right ship or the wrong ship. So you just need to, you know, you need to be nimble and creative and persistent, and that's what we're good at. We're good at like, finding. So the plan A's are easy. The plan B's not so much, and we're great at those. And everyone will have them. I don't care how good you are. You'll have situations that go south.
Let's expand a little more on the cargo ship situation in the Suez Canal. 6 days is a long time for a stoppage in the logistics industry. When you first learned of it, what were your fears? And then what's the reality with that stoppage and how it will affect the industry?
Nothing you can do. And my son asked me, he says, you think the Suez Canal Authority have an emergency plan in place? I said, you're precious. Because they don't. I mean, it's just, it goes for 30 years without this. So no one's got a 30-year plan for when this happens. What do we do? They figure it out. And so I wasn't surprised that it took so many days and ditch diggers and tugboats to get that out. I wasn't surprised. Sad to say, but that's, I think, the nature of the world, how things work. Yeah, probably clear quicker than people are saying, I think. But there'll be a backlog. But no way around it. I mean, to me, it's like I go to Starbucks once in a while on the way to work. So I stop on 12th Street, pull in the line in that driveway there. Well, if it's taking longer than I thought, I can't back out and say, forget it, I'll skip coffee today. I mean, you got five cars behind you in a lane. So that's how this is. I mean, there's nowhere to go, nothing clever you can do. If you're stuck in that line, you wait in that line until that ship's freed up and you can start moving again. So some things just happen, and really not much you can do, so you make the best of it. But I use that as a lesson. I mean, no matter how much you plan, no one planned on that Ever Given getting stuck. And no one can claim they did. So things will happen. You got to figure out the best response.
How have the rising gas prices impacted LP, and how do you help your customers manage increasing costs in their supply chains?
Well, I mean, certainly we can't control the gas prices, and certainly it affects the cost of doing business. So I think the way we do it best is by trying to minimize the needless movement of freight, handling of freight. So just being more efficient. I mean, that's a lot of times, you know, people will judge a company on, can you get me this truck for $500 instead of $450 or instead of $550? but maybe that truck doesn't need to be that big. Maybe that truck doesn't need to go two places and, you know, could go one place. I mean, you look at the whole movement, and that's really where the, in my experience, that's where the savings come. It's just a better way of doing things, not just by paying a little bit less per mile. That's a false thing to chase, because that's not much. You're going to pay something, and you're not going to get that much cheaper. But if you can save or run, a good example we had was 20 years ago. We had a truck every day for one customer going from Pittsburgh to Erie every day. And it was a hotshot truck. So you pay $500, guy goes to the shipper's dock, brings it to the customer here. So $500 a week to move that one skid. And I called up the manufacturer. I said, why do you do this hotshot truck for $500 in Pittsburgh every Friday? He says, because our purchase order says ship on Friday for Friday delivery. I said, okay, you're doing what you've been told. But let me ask you something. Could you ship on Thursday for Friday delivery? He said, oh, yeah, it's on our shelf. We ship it any day. I said, okay, we're going to ship it on an LTL carrier Thursday. It'll get delivered 8 a.m. Friday, but without the extra pay. It costs $50 instead of $500. So a lot of people would have gone out and found a truck for $475, and you've saved $25. We saved 90% by doing it a different way. So to me, that's always the answer to these things, just a more efficient, thought-out way of doing things.
COVID vaccinations are starting to become more prevalent, but COVID is still impacting supply chains in a major way. Can you update us on how Logistics Plus is continuing to deal with COVID, both in-house and on behalf of your customers?
I'm going to knock on wood, because we've been real lucky with this. And from the beginning, we kind of took an approach that we can deal with this. And we never missed a day. We stayed open. We let people who felt nervous about coming in work from home. And we never pressured them to come back. But my message was, some of us are here, and when you feel comfortable and safe, we'll do all the precautions here. But we got a big building, and we'll make it safe for you. And we've had it go through a few waves through the company, but nothing. No one got really sick, so we're lucky on that. But you just gotta. I know it's not a perfect analogy, but when this happened, I was reading the new book about the Blitzkrieg of London and Winston Churchill, and that's something where every day, every night, you're getting bombed, and people are getting killed, houses are getting destroyed, and you could stay in your basement the whole, for the 3 months till it's over, which a lot of people did. But some people went out and went to the factories and built airplanes that could knock those out of the sky, and you needed people to do that. And you can't really force them, because if you're too scared to go, you don't go. But enough people did. And same here. We kind of let everyone find their own level of comfort and take it that way. It didn't force the issue. But by staying open and serving our customers, I think it stood us in good stead.
When you talk to your clients, does it seem like they can see the light at the end of the tunnel in regards to COVID-19?
It seems like it's starting to loosen up a lot. And I read something today that I think is right. I follow the New York Times every day, and they have the new cases for the country and deaths. And I've been following that from day one. And what I've noticed is lately the new cases have gone up a lot, like 75,000 yesterday. But deaths are down, like 500. And what I read that's attributed to is that more and more older people who die from this are getting vaccinated, so there's less death going on. And more young kids are going out thinking it's over, which it's not, but they get the infection, so the infection rate's up, but they generally don't die from it. But in some ways, that to me is what will create the herd immunity, that the older people get vaccinated, and then the young kids might go out and be stupid and get exposed, but they get it and they're sick for a couple of days, and they're immune to it after that too. So maybe this is what it's going to take.
Jim, I understand that Logistics Plus was instrumental in a delivery enabling the USS Gridley to get back to sea. Gridley is a name that has some meaning here in Erie. Can you tell us what this was all about?
Cool story. So they were in Seattle and the dock, and they needed some part to get back to sea, and we delivered it through a Rocky Mountain snowstorm, and the captain, not knowing the connection to Gridley being an Erie guy, wrote me a really nice email and thanked us for going above and beyond to get them back out to sea. And so I followed up and told him thank you, and do you know who Gridley is? He was the first guy that fired the first shot of the Spanish-American War, and he's an Erie guy, and your ship's named after that. So he thought that was very cool. He sent us a really nice picture of the ship and autographed it, and kind of it was a cool Erie thing to do.
I know that environmental sustainability is very important to LP. You reportedly purchased 1,200 recycled plastic pallets made from 13,200 pounds of ocean waste. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's that's something I'm a big fan of, is, and I think everyone is the cleaning up the ocean. And we have a company that we work with called Rio. It's a local guy, actually started it, and they have found a way to recycle all this plastic that's circulating in all the waterways, not just the ocean. And they're making sneakers, and they're making pallets and stuff out of recycled plastic. So just a great thing to help them, you know, succeed and to clean up the ocean. It's a big job.
Between that story we just mentioned about environmental sustainability and your work last year with PPE is just a couple of examples. There's got to be a huge sense of pride in what you've been able to do as far as giving back in this industry.
It's important stuff. And this guy, I know Kieran, the guy that runs Rio, he's from Ireland. He's lived in Erie. He's a fishing captain. And he really, I'm passionate about logistics. He's passionate about the ocean. That's his thing. And so to help him, you know, get going with that. And I said, you get heaven points. It's the right thing to do to help clean up the planet. And I've been to places like Indonesia where he's at now, and the rivers, the waterways, the canals are just disgusting. I mean, people drink from it. I mean, so he's, you know, one by one, he's getting people to try to address that problem. So hopefully it's a big success. I mean, God's on his side doing this project. I hope his company, hope Rio's a big success, because they're doing the right thing in a good way.
Jim, although Logistics Plus receives many awards and recognition, I know the Great Workplace Awards are the ones that are most important to you. It was reported last month that LP received its fourth consecutive Great Place to Work certification as a result of updated employee surveys. Can you tell us about how much that means to you?
Yeah, that's just great to get that. And it's hard to maintain a fun culture. And as you get bigger, I think it gets tougher. But we focus on that. And when the employees say, yeah, we love working here, it's a great place to work, that's, for me, what better reward can there be than that? You've created something from nothing that has changed a lot of lives and has done a lot of good, and it's great to get that kind of feedback. So we want to keep doing that. A lot of awards are kind of BS, but this one means something.
I've seen a new slogan pop up in a lot of your recent marketing communications touting Logistics Plus as a 21st century logistics company. Explain the meaning behind that.
My joke is always, what is logistics? We move stuff. And stuff always moves. And it's been moving since the days of the camel caravans. And until some kid gets an app that moves a pallet from Chicago to New York, it's going to be there. So that's always been my pitch, and it's still right. But now you have to do more than just that. If all you're doing is moving trucks and containers and you're making $20 or $50 per, there's robots that'll do a lot of that. Anyone really can do that. So you have to be good at what you do. But then the 21st century is some of this IT stuff. So we, through WeWork, where we got into not just moving the product, but setting up offices in countries all over the world, on 85th floors, skyscrapers, we got better at that kind of stuff. We've ended up doing installations for some really big IT companies. And so, it's not just the moving stuff for a couple of bucks. It's actually doing much more white glove things and installs and setups and things that we really never did before. But it's an evolution that I think is important for the business, because if you just move trucks, I don't know how long you'll stay in business against the big guys. But also for the people you bring into the company. So it's funny because a lot of the stuff we do now, I can go into our North American division and sit at someone's desk and move a truck probably as well as they can. But I can't go into our Google office and do the analytics and some of the stuff those kids do. So we're bringing in a whole new generation that really doesn't just move freight, but they're doing higher-end analytics and BI, business intelligence. And so I think if they were just moving trucks, they'd be bored to death and would never work for us. But because we give an opportunity to do what they do for these big you know, top five companies in the world. I think we're getting a whole new generation of employees here. It'll be, they're fun, they're smart. It's a great mix. So we still do the old stuff, but also now we do the new stuff. And a lot of our old companies don't even know that we do this new stuff. A lot of our old customers. It's like a whole new ball game for us.
Jim, earlier in the show, we were discussing how COVID has impacted not just logistics, but business as a whole. And WeWork was the example that we were discussing. Companies like them and some of the other companies that have been affected by COVID, do you see them coming back as the pandemic comes to an end?
Yes, it's going to be back. And it started already. We've had several installs all across the U.S. and a couple around the world in the last month. And there's more on the docket for April, and there's even more for May. So slowly they're coming back. And the WeWork opening, so to speak, got us in front of these other companies. A lot of the WeWork guys went to these other competitors. They're going to come out of this strong. So we're there, you know, we're there to do that for them as they start up again. So we're in a good, when they call this FF&E is the name of this vertical. And as they come back to life, we'll be there for a lot of them doing the work for them. So yes, it's kind of been dormant. We stayed in front of them. We did whatever we could, what they needed, but now it's starting to come back, and we're ready to go.
Logistics Plus is celebrating its 25th anniversary in 2021. With the official anniversary date coming up in August, do you have any plans to celebrate the achievement?
It's going to be epic. If things go right, we're going to have the party on August 7th, and we're going to rent out UPMC Field, and we're going to have 1,000 people there. And not only will it be a celebration of 25 years of success and fun and good vibes, but it kind of be coming out party for Erie and for the country, I think. And timing could be perfect where everyone's ready to let loose and we'll do that on the ball field. So it'd be a blast. Our party is always pretty epic. This one might take the cake.
We heard another rumor that you and some of your fellow downtown Erie business leaders are starting a new fund for some additional enhancements to Griswold Park.
Yeah. I love the work that the group that Erie Insurance set up is doing downtown. And rightfully, they're focusing on, you know, their neighborhood downtown, Perry Square and around there. But we're downtown too, and we're kind of the neglected or forgotten part of downtown. So We wouldn't ask the insurance guys to focus here. They need to focus in their neck of the woods. But we have a bunch of movers and shakers that have invested for years, including us 15 years ago when we bought this place when it was ramshackle and ready for the demolition ball. But, you know, Rick Griffith has invested down here, and Brian Lilly from the TV stations, and Pete Zafiris and Andy Sassini. So people who have already invested millions of their own dollars, put skin in the game into this neighborhood. So we're going to get together, and we have some ideas to develop some fun stuff in this part of downtown, too, that'll help clean it up and bring more life back down here. So hopefully something new and exciting. It's worth doing, and we need to clean up. We need the park to get back to being used and much more life in it. It's Griswold Park's been kind of abandoned, so we want to bring some life back.
Are there other projects on the horizon that are similar to the Griswold Park one?
Yeah, I think more to come. Yeah, because one thing we're talking about is an ice rink downtown, and it's not ice; it's artificial ice, GLICE it's called, and it's been done all over the world. Very cool thing. And if we can pull that off down here, and other things, people want to have coffee stands next to it or hot dog stands. So, usually when you start these balls rolling, other things follow. So we want to be the ones that start it, and then we'll see other people hopefully jump on the bandwagon.
Is there anything else new or interesting going on at LP that you're able to share with us today?
Yeah, it's going to be a wild and crazy year. It's been fun, and it keeps picking up pace. It's hard to believe because I always thought we were like crazy enough, and it's getting crazier. But we like that, so we're good.
Jim, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. One more question. Has LP been hiring as many people as you anticipated this year?
Yeah, we've hired a lot of people. We're hiring. And what we found, though, is like we like to hire young, energetic kids, and we'll teach them how to do what we do. Sometimes we hire people who are experts. They know too much, and it's hard for them to get rid of some bad habits. So we've real successful program with the local colleges, and they keep feeding us great kids. And these great kids get to stay home and work for a global company in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio, WPSE. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.